This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented to you by Cut. Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. And use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your money in the NBA, NHL, college basketball, and the PGA. Sign up today using promo code GOLF, SGPN, to get 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by SGPN subscriber-only Match Madness Bankroll Contest. Free to enter, up to $2,000 in prizes. Enter today at sportsgamepodcast.com/madness. And Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app. Or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 10% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Right, D-Gens. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Wyndham Clark is not an honorary Irishman. Scottie Scheffler came up and stole our goddamn lunch money. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, how are you, buddy?
I'm a little sad. Yes, and melancholy.
You're definitely sad.
I haven't yelled at the kids tonight, though. That was
well, that's good. That's good. That's good. I like how you're able to separate. You have to be able to separate.
Yeah. That was a rough one. Actually, it was rough for reasons the audience actually doesn't know about. Because I woke up on Wednesday, and I like to replay in my head how, you know, the previous night's show went. I had already sent my card to Cameron. And I realized how big of a moron I was trying to defend the Morikawa outright. And I'm like, you know what? He's not winning. So I went back and I looked at my book and I'm like, oh, Xander dropped to 25. You know, and I was basically deciding between him and Colin. So yeah. I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll just put a little bit on Xander, you know, shadow card. We all do it, by the way. Everybody in the business has some bets that they don't have publicly released, just like you did this week. So yeah, I decided, you know what? Why not add a little bit of pain and misery to the card? Yeah, it's probably going to end terribly, but we'll see. But hey, end of Saturday, got Xander leading, winning right behind him, Brian Harman closing their heels too. And I'm like, oh, how could this possibly go wrong? It did. It went wrong. Everything that we said at the top of the betting show happened, that Scott, he was going to take all our money.
Yep. And I told you, I should have just single fucking bulleted it. Like, I had the feeling. I had it. Like, I knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, why didn't you?
Because I can't. I played him in the one and done because I thought it was going to happen. No, I can't. Listen, man. You know how we are. There's no way I'm betting a 6-1 unless it's John Rahm with a narrative. Period. End of story. Like, it's never going to happen. But he gets hot on these things, and that's how it was going to go. And I knew he was going to steal that fucking lunch money. Listen, that's why I shadow bet him to cover all my outrights. Like, I just covered him outrights, little bit of profit. And I texted you that on Wednesday, and Cam found out and he called me a coward, but I don't give a shit. He covered it. I don't care. But the Wyndham Clark, it's unbelievable. I can't imagine how you feel. I only had Wyndham. I didn't have Xander.
I mean, Xander, I've just come to expect this. Like, it is what it is. But this isn't really the first time.
That's why I don't bet it.
I know. This is really kind of the first time I've dabbled in like Wyndham and Brian Harman even for like outrights. And Harman, like, that was going to go under the rug for his choke job with a bad drive on the easiest hole on the golf course.
Down one. On fucking 16 in the fucking pine straw?
I know. He also missed a
lot. First of all,
Can I
just say this? So sure. It's St. Paddy's Day. I did a huge shepherd's pie. Fucking Pete did corned beef and cabbage. So we're all sitting around watching. My mother, who is fucking 72 years old, 75 years old. And my father-in-law and the wives who don't even watch golf are like, what is this guy doing? Why is he taking so long for Brian Harman with his stupid fucking waggles? It is impossible to watch. Impossible. Like, if there's no other reason to root against the guy other than he's like a little redneck, and the shot routine is fucking way too much. It's impossible. I hate him.
I mean, I agree. the amount of waggles he takes, it's borderline Sergio circa like 2000.
My mother is 75 and can't figure out an iPhone and realized he was taking too long to fucking take a shot.
I know. Well, I mean, honestly, golf aside, I mean, Brian Harman's kind of knocked a peg in my book today, but his stock was actually rising for me during the week because he actually, I saw the walk and talk with him on Golf Channel. I thought
You fell in love immediately.
I thought he had a lot of really good nuggets. It was definitely getting to my nerd side. He said, and then he actually brought up something in the happy hour with Smiley with wind that really piqued my interest. I'm going to talk about for the Masters in a couple weeks because now it actually makes sense with the wind direction, why it's a lot easier in one direction and harder in another direction. But anyways, yeah, he missed a lot of really short putts, but I'll set the stage for Wyndham. So I had my kids with me. I was holding my 8 month old in the living room. My 4 year old was sitting on the couch too. She's actually starting to get into the golf. Like she likes the Pro Tracer. She says boom every time the ball goes in the hole. She was cheering on Wyndham. It was great. And ball power lipped, and I let out a yelp. And I just slumped. on the front door with my 7 month old, and then my 4 year old. She likes Daniel Tiger, and she could sense.
Oh yes, I'm very well aware who he is. Only because my godson is very into him.
And she could sense something was wrong. So she actually in her brain went to a Daniel Tiger song right after Wyndham missed the putt. She goes just right on cue, if you try again, you can get better. I'm like, not now. Not now. Kid.
So. When he missed that fucking bunny eagle putt on, was that two today? On two?
He missed two eagle putts today.
The one that me and you could have made from fucking 4 goddamn feet.
He missed a lot of putts, but yes, that was on two.
He couldn't fucking buy a putt the last 2 days. Unbelievable.
I mean, he did gain like 8 strokes putting the first 2 days. Like that's 10.
Listen, that's fine, but that's how he should do. But listen, he should be able to make a fucking 3-footer. Unbelievable.
I know. I mean, between not making putts.
And then the ball went in the fucking hole, Steve. The ball went in the fucking hole on 18.
It was halfway down. Hitting a chunk on 17 yesterday. Hitting it in the water. One thing though I will give Wyndham credit for was he did show a lot of toughness when he was screwing up. Like he was getting up and down from a lot of really big places. And credit to him. But yeah, that one's gonna sting. I actually had somebody in Discord ask what are the paying power rankings, and two, where does this player's rank? It's definitely high on the list.
This is top five for me.
So number five, 2022 Honda. Shane Lowry loses because it started to rain.
That's fair. I got Shane at the Heritage. So yeah. I understand.
Yeah, I've had closer calls, but just the sheer ridiculousness that rain is the reason why I lost. There's that. Knocking it down from the three spot, number four, the 2021 Death March with Bryson, 6 playoff holes, where Patty Ice ends up getting there. Right. And we caught Bryson at a great number everywhere.
What do we have? 40 fucking 60?
30, I had 35 when he should have been like 20. Number three, the players. I was going back and forth if this was as bad as Sony, Henley blowing the lead. It's not quite as bad because that one was just like a slow bleed up over 2 hours. And the sheer ridiculousness that Hideki Matsuyama led the field in putting on Bermuda.
Okay, that goddamn 3-wood was one of the most beautiful shots I've ever seen.
Congratulations. I think you got like plus 450 on that too, right? So like, nope, there you go.
Absolutely not. I bet him fucking pre-tournament, you prick. Don't be all salty.
That was definitely a shadow bet. But nothing tops. Last year's Rocky Mortgage when Chalk Ricky wins, and I have Morikawa and Hadwin tickets, and then I go into paternity leave for a month and a half. And
so it sells it to three for you?
It's number three. No, it's number three because, listen, Scotty beat me. Like the world number one, the guy, the cheat code, the guy who looks like he's just playing on easy mode on PGA
TV. Those neck hurts too.
I mean, literally just, it's so frustrating to have an outright going head to head against Scotty because you know he's never going to miss a fairway or a green. And everything's going to
be. Well, that's what I said about Xander earlier. He's such a coward off the tee. He never takes a chance. Three wood hybrid, but he has no balls. So he misses the chips and he misses the putts. Xander sucks. I hate Xander. I'm glad he lost.
I'm glad you're glad. But all right. I think I'm done talking about this tournament.
Dude,
anything else you want to unpack?
Winner's putt was in the hole. It was in the hole.
It was in the hole. And anything, any other thoughts from this tournament? I got some setup nits about this thing.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking easy. It was pretty easy.
So the one thing, mea culpa, I got in the show last Tuesday and talked about, oh, they got sub-air, the greens will be firm, will be fine. Well, I didn't know, and apparently no one else knew, that the sub-air systems are decommissioned at TPC Sawgrass. They're no longer functional. You would think with the amount of... You would think that the amount of money they dumped into that golf course and all the fertilizer and chemicals they dumped to make it emerald green, maybe they would spend, I don't know, $50,000 a year to making sure the sub-air would still work.
Gotta make sure Monahan gets his Escalade to the next event or whatever. Yeah.
So that wasn't a great revelation. I'll know that for next year. That do not count on this thing getting firm because just there's nothing to do it. And I mean, look, like between all the rough around all the hazards, especially on 17, I wish I did this. I just had baby brain and just my brain's not really working. All cylinders early in the week.
Brandon's working fine, Steve.
Thank you. But I remembered specifically just the ring around the rough around 17 because everybody complained in 2021. I'm like, all right, I'm going to bet under on water balls. And I just didn't. And I spaced on talking about it. So I will put a note for next year to slam the under on water balls because they're just going to put a bowling bumper around 17 and it's going to be not as fun. And I thought maybe like 35 were in the water this week.
No, it was so low. And so me and Powers were talking about it. We were hanging out on 17 green and it's literally disgraceful. Mm-hmm. It's disgraceful what they've done. Like it's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know. I mean, they really are pampering to the players at this point, having that stuff. And
yeah. Pete, my boy. So let's just say Hyman is still lining up his approach to shot on 16. Exactly. Yeah. The worst.
Yeah. BK, my day sucks. How's your day, buddy?
I texted BK earlier. I was like, golf fucking sucks.
Yeah. Wow.
And we're going to the Valspar. Yay.
I know. I actually like
caddies really well.
I actually like this course, but. All right, I'm done talking about this tournament. You got anything else before we go to Nabra?
I would just say that as far as like a local event, it was a big hit. Lots of people went. Lots of people had fun. It was a good tournament. Like if you take your outrights out of it, we actually finally had a tournament that had some excitement down to the end. It really did. I mean, fucking Windy had a fucking putt to push it to playoff. Harmon had a putt to push it to playoff. I just think this is the most exciting tournament we've had all year. It really is. It sucks that we came out on the wrong end of it. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, I think Genesis had that crown, and then this is definitely the one that had the most juice. Great leaderboard, lots of action down the stretch, a couple choke jobs, and obviously coming up a little short with an outright. To just deliver one final dagger into my weekend. Just great.
Let me ask you this. Do you think we're going to get, like, so are the books going to keep disrespecting Wyndham? Like, look, he has it won. Like, but I got him at 60 and 50 to 1, retrospectively, the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so anymore. I think so it'll now, be proper. Now, yeah, I mean,
makes him harder to pick now. You know what I mean?
Well, so Wyndham actually opened. Here's the confusing thing was Wyndham opened at like 35. And then he
went the other way.
No one was betting him, apparently.
No one.
Or anybody, or people just betting against him, and then like the public books are just moving the odds that way. I don't know. I don't think so at this point. I think he's playing too good. Again, I went into this golf course thinking, hey, I don't think TPC Sawgrass is really the great golf course for him, but he's playing great. And it's a weird golf course. And I think the day, unless he just goes into the tank for a couple tournaments, the days of us getting him over 40-1 are probably.
We said the same thing about Morikawa, and Morikawa literally hasn't won in how long? That win doesn't count. The one that you're going to bring up doesn't count, the shortened field. And we still get garbage numbers on him.
Right now.
So,
yeah.
Oh, are we just going to, and we're going to, he's just going to be in the 20s now with all the other losers who don't fucking win?
Yeah, probably 20s and low 30s. Yeah.
Gross.
All right. All right. Well, let's get away from this gross tournament. Let's talk about the Valspar. Let's take a break. And then let's talk about old Larry Packard.
Oh, you got a story for me?
I do. I do. I actually love talking about this story because I'm upset. I'm so sad talking about this man's great life, the Forrest Gump of golf. But now let's take a break and then we'll do that.
BK, buddy, relax. It's not the worst day of your life. It's okay. I give you an air hug. All right. So listen, coming next week. Listen, don't forget, it's not on the ad read, but first half unders. Listen, join the club. Everybody, first half unders, no matter what happens. But merch madness. We got 50% off everything in the merch store with promo code MAGIC madness. And that's it, man. Listen, first half unders, do it. You don't have to watch the whole game. I don't care about college basketball, but I bet it every single year. And it's great. And so the contest is free to enter. Only to subscribers to SGPN shows. For every SGPN show you're subscribed to, you get bonus credits to use in the contest. It's a bankroll style contest, and winner take all $1,000 first prize or $2,000 if you're subscribed to the Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. Cut. It's the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US based and available in 40 states. Social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends and other users in sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus tons of fun with social features that give it feel like a real social network. Cut is offering a lower VIG plus fully customizable odds. You get to bet your own bet, like when I smoked Steve with his terrible Billy Horschel bet this week. Cut handles playoff payments of the side of things, so you don't have to chase anybody down for money. Social features group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. Plus, you get cash back every time you bet against your friends and other users. So, listen, we'll have another cut bet this week. I will win again because I dominate Steve in the head-to-head things. So download Cut today with the app and head over to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And Underdog Fantasy. So listen, it's the best place to play if you guys still have it available in your state. If you're not Ron DeSantis and decide you don't like revenue and don't like your citizens to have fun, please go play Underdog. It's literally the best place to do it. You get to play higher or lower on lots of stuff, man. Basketball, sure, rebounds and points and stuff like that. But with golf, it's fairways, hits, birdies are better. It's a beautiful thing. It really is the best place you can put your money to bet higher or lower odds on. So you sign up today with promo code GOLFSGPN and get your first deposit bonus up to $100 as well as an instant pick-up special. Visit underdogfantasy.com and find them in the App Store. Don't forget to register with my promo code GOLFSGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as a pick-up special. You must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
All right.
Your turn to talk. That was a lot.
Thanks. Well, I'm going to talk about Mr. Larry Packard.
Larry?
So,
did he make the car?
Did he make the car? No.
Packard. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Packard car? No.
It was a Packard. It was a Ford Packard.
Okay. No, he did definitely did not. So this is the Copperhead Course, the Innisbrook Resort. This is north of Tampa, like near like Clearwater. So this golf course
is far from Tampa because we thought about playing it, and like we were staying in Tampa, it's like an hour from Tampa.
Yeah, it's probably like 40 minutes. I mean, you got to go basically around the bay and up, but it's in the Tampa, you know, like metro area.
It's far
per se. But yeah, so this was built in 1970. There are four golf courses on the Innisbrook Resort. This is the Copperhead course. This is one that has hosted the Valspar Championship for years and was designed by a man named Larry Packer. And I always like coming on this show and talking about his story because it's a very cool story because he was not a golf guy originally. So during the Great Depression, Larry became very fascinated with agronomy and landscape architecture. Maybe that's why I really like Larry, because he's just passionate about his grasses. Oh, yeah. So, but one of the first jobs, though, he was planting grass for the U.S. military, and he was planting grass along the runways for air bases. So his first job was actually at Westover Field Air Base, planted the grass around the runway, and the U.S. military, the government, took such notice at how much care and you know precision that he took in his craft that they decided to contract him out to do the landscaping and grasses for all their military bases. And he also came up with a bunch of camouflage techniques for air bases during World War II to prevent enemy attacks. And he did such a really good job that pilots would actually have trouble finding the runways to land. So, and it was looking like, you know, he was going to have a destiny in the U.S. military, but then
can World War II. Interject for a second and see if you notice.
For it.
The freeway system, the overpasses. You know why they're there?
Why are they there?
So you can hide a plane and have it take off. That's why they have. So you could store a plane without being seen from overhead spy stuff, and you'd have the runway to take off.
Interesting. Didn't know that. No. Okay. Carrying on. Well, after World War II. he realized that, you know, he had the skill in agronomy, but nothing to use it. So he took up, hey, why don't I actually start building some golf courses? So he ended up tutoring under a guy named Robert Bruce Harris. I've never really heard of the guy, but apparently he tutored under him. And over the next 50 years, Packer built over 350 golf courses across the United States. Most of them are around Chicago and the Midwest. But he was hired by the Innisbrook Resort to build all their golf courses, including the Copperhead course. And this was his crowning achievement. And, you know, listen, like, this is not the flashiest golf course. I wouldn't say it's the most well-designed, but there are a lot of things about this golf course I like. For example, you know, you live in Florida, Boston Capper. Most golf courses are flat. And this one actually has a little bit of elevation change, you know, relatively speaking. It's not huge, but, you know, for example, you know, let's maybe move to the fifth hole here. This is a par five. Actually goes up the hill about 30 feet, and then right about like 480 mark starts going downhill here. So it's actually a blind approach shot over the hill there. So, you know, you got some downhill shots, uphill shots. You don't really see that in Florida. So it's a good piece of land. But mostly what he did was he loves his dog legs, and he loves pinching in fairways, loved bottlenecking fairways, and he created, you know, a golf course that, you know, look, like, you need some tree work. It's a little outdated as far as some of the architecture styles, but it stands the test of time. And we'll get it to how these guys attacked it off the tee. It's not one that just can really be overpowered anymore. It's because of how he placed all the hazards and the designs and dog legs specifically. So, you know, starting right off, you know, the opening hole here, par five up the hill. It's got a couple bunkers over on the left here. It's about 293 to carry this. You know, very narrow fairways, bottlenecks here. You know, the green is obscured from your approach shot here. You got basically, you know, shape it around the trees for your second. You know, it's a small target, not a whole lot of room to really bounce the ball up. You know, you got to hit two really precise shots in order to get there in two. Next hole here, dog leg left, par four. You got a lake over here, about 282. Again, the hole kind of bottlenecks around 280. So, you're not really, you know, do you really want to pull driver, especially if it's cold and windy? Maybe we'll go in the water here. So you're seeing guys kind of have to lay up short, hit into the green for the second, and then swing back around for the third right here. You know, hole bottleneck severely, about 296. You got the water to the right here. You got to tiptoe your way around the golf course. And there's a lot of holes like that on here at Innisbrook. Go ahead.
I hate to bring it back to what just happened, but am I wrong to think that Wyndham Clark's playing off the tee was horrific today? He clubbed down on almost every single hole, and every hole he actually took the driver out on, he gave himself an eagle or a birdie look. Am I wrong to think that whoever's analytics guy needs to be fired?
No, because I think with Wyndham, he can only shape it one way with the driver.
Yeah, left or right.
So in on holes where he basically has to hit right to left, he can't hit driver.
I don't know, man.
Like I know that you wanted him to pull driver on 18, but
yeah. Like no, that, 18. Multiple holes where his Xander was hitting 30 yards in front of him. Like, you are longer than Xander. What are you doing? Like,
well, I mean, on 18,
don't be a there, pussy like Xander and take 3-wood off the tee every time and then lose the tournament because you only want to hit 3-wood off the tee.
Okay. Well, on 18, like, that ball would have went in the pine straw if you tried to hit a fade.
Maybe, but you don't know how he's going to hit
no, it. No, I mean, how he was hitting driver that day, it definitely would have.
You don't know that.
No. And BK's right. You can't just rip driver around Sawgrass. You have to plod your way around. That's how Bryson did it. He wasn't just ripping driver everywhere. Yeah. I mean, it helped this week that the fairways are softer. You could pull driver more, but on holes that you need a right to left shot, he can't hit driver. It doesn't make sense at that point. Okay. All right. Anyways.
I first of all, you can't take advice from anybody who thinks the Islanders are a good hockey team. So BK can go fuck himself.
All right. Let's zoom to the closing stretch, because another reason why I like this golf course, I think it's got a good closing stretch of holes in the back nine. I think there's a lot of opportunities for car crashes, a lot of opportunities to kind of flip a tournament. I kind of remember specifically about this tournament. I mean, the bad thing about this tournament is where it is in the schedule.
Yep.
It just kind of gets lost. I mean, we're coming off a really torrid stretch of Genesis, Bay Hill, Players, and now there's this lull between this and the Masters. Kind of a sleepy time in the schedule. Unfortunately, it's always in that place. But, you know, I think there's some good holes down the stretch. Number 12 here. Again, less than driver hole. You got a lake here, about 260 to get there. And then it's, about a wedge shot into a very small green, heavily protected by bunkers. I think this is actually where Tommy Fleetwood lost the tournament last year for us.
No, it's 100% right here. Yes.
100%. Yeah, it was either here or here. He dumped in one of these bunkers.
I'm pointing to the screen like people are seeing where I'm pointing, and I am literally pointing
right here.
He fucking lost it.
Is it right here?
Right there. Right here. Right fucking there.
Yeah. I think he hit a terrible wedge, and that was basically it. 13, yeah. Long approach shot over water, heavily, into a heavily bunkered, green 200 yard shot. 14. Now, this is another thing that old Larry was known for.
This thing looks so diabolical from the above shots. Like, I
play courses like this, and creation. I would no one had been at a double dog leg par five before Larry started doing it. And so this what happened?
Where you go, buddy?
Yep.
So then,
all right. I think I'm back. I think my internet's not great right now, but. All right. I didn't hear anything you just said, so I'll just keep rolling.
I just said, are you back, buddy? That's all.
Okay. All right. So the double dog leg, so it's about 260, this first dog leg here. You see some guys can try and cut the corner now with the driver. They can do it. I mean, back like 10 years ago, this was a three-shotter. You hit it to here, have a wedge in. Now most guys can cut the corner here, take it over the trees here. This is why the holes actually probably is pretty outdated now, but the double dog leg par five, it's his baby. 15 again, another long par three, small target, not very, it's very, pretty tough hole here. And then the snake pit, 60 through 18, really tough stretch of holes. Oh. This was three of the four toughest holes on the golf course heading in. So pretty big, sweeping, long dog leg right, par four. This would actually be probably pretty good for Wyndham Clark. It demands an accurate fade, but if you overcut it, it's in the water. And then if you try, basically accurate is the hard part. And the more you take on here, the more you got to basically cover the water here. Obviously there's a lot of thick trees up here. It's a tough, demanding driving hole. Definitely one where there's a lot of car crashes, ones where you can definitely lose a tournament. 17. This is a really tough par three. This green, you can't really see it from Google Earth, but it's really heavily undulated, lots of sloping, lots of undulations, heavily bunkered too. Just a tough, tough you know, down the stretch shot.
Is this the one where it runs off the left a ton?
It runs off, I think, the right.
Right. Okay.
Here, I was looking at, I was looking at the green heat map, and there's a lot of undulation, like right here. So,
okay, so it runs off the right level. I know it was one or the other.
Yep. And then 18. Tough demanding hole. A lot of bunkers. Yeah, you know, it's probably a little bit too much, but I mean, there's nowhere to miss. You know, 270 over here, 308 to here. All these, it's kind of like church pee bunkers a little bit over here. Very narrow fairway. And then the green is also set a little bit to the left here. So you basically have to take on the right side of the hole to get a, actually a good angle to the green. If you're over on the left here, it's all carry over here. And this green is very heavily contoured, severely sloping back to front here. Again, you got a lot of bunkers you got to contend with as well. Just a tough hole. So, excuse me.
Is this the Paul Casey place?
We'll get to that. But yes, Paul Casey's a legend here. Okay. So just overall, listen, like not a flashy golf course, but it's a tough golf course. It's a golf course that you really can't overrun any, you know, at this point, even with drivers and how aggressive guys are. You do have to kind of plod your way around. You got to hit good quality shots. It's target golf. It can get a little boring, but if you want a tournament, especially when the weather gets really dicey, you want some car crashes and some turnover on the back nine. I know we got that last year with, on Sunday, it was really rainy and windy, kind of an entertaining tournament, unless you bet Tommy Fleetwood like a loser.
We did. Fucking crazy. Who, was it Montgomery who won?
No, Taylor Moore. Wrong Taylor.
Moore.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I bet him.
Not Taylor Montgomery. It was a Taylor.
Yeah, I think that was one of my specials of betting a guy positional, but not betting him outright. And he
that sounds accurate. Tommy Fleetwood. The flaccid fucking Fleetwood. Unbelievable.
I think actually we said afterwards.
Somehow Burns today. Burns went fucking like 8 over in his last fucking 2 holes to screw me out of a matchup. I hate Burns.
I know, and Burns actually screwed us here too. We'll get to the winners in a little bit. But anyways, not a flashy golf course. Target golf. Narrow. You got to hit quality shots. The ball striker is paradise. So why don't we take another break and then we'll get into some of the details and how this actually plays.
All right. Sounds good. Well, listen, Game Time, man. Listen, if you guys were trying to get the TPC this weekend, you should have hit up Game Time. They had tickets all over the place. I know a couple of my friends got deck tickets for under the cost and parking tickets. Actually, if you guys go to a PGA event, don't forget the parking tickets. Sometimes they're like $200. You can find them on Game Time for a hell of a lot cheaper. So listen, flash deals last minute up to the parking plus, easy to find, and you can buy tickets for whatever event you're looking for. And you get pictures of the seat views plus lowest price guarantee with event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. So if you buy a ticket on Friday and your boss fires you, you can still go to the event on Sunday, I guess, or you can sell it off. It's the fastest growing ticket app in the region for country. Get images of your seat, like you said, so you know exactly what you're going to look at. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds. 2 taps and your set tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you don't have to dig through your email. So snag the tickets without the stress. Download Game Time app and create an account. Use promo code CFBX for $20 off your first ticket. Terms apply. Again, and create an account and redeem your code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute prices, lowest price guaranteed. And Champs is hosting a free match madness bracket for to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own match madness pool on Champs, you get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure you register now so you don't miss out. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. And Hall of Fame bets, win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, play props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea to the Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimized tool to get hit rates broken down by leg as well as expected probability for the entire parlay. So all players by hit rate, it's for to learn which players are hot, which ones got value. So stop betting the doc and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent data. Holidays, download Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
Okay. go to the GCSAA report. So it's a par 71, 7,340 yards. But even though it's par 71, there is one additional par three on the golf course. So five par threes, four par fives, and what is that? 10 par fours. Or no, nine par fours.
What's the extra par three? Which one am I missing?
So there's two on the front, three on the back.
Three on the back, okay.
Yep, all of them are 13, 15, and 17?
17, 15. I missed 13. Gotcha.
Yeah, and all of them are pretty long, too. Yeah, four of the five are over 200 yards. The other one's like 195. And we'll get to the approach shot distribution chart, but this is a golf course that leans heavily on long irons.
Yeah. For most, come on, Keegan.
Mostly that. Well,
just kidding.
We'll get to the past results, but yeah, Keegan is another painful memory for this show with that one.
I literally want
average.
Just sucks out.
All right. Average green side, about 5,800 square feet. That is a little smaller in PGA Tour average. So once again, we are on small greens. They play a little smaller sometimes too. Some of these greens are a little flat. I wouldn't say greens and around the green design was Larry's specialty, but a couple of them have some severe undulations, specifically 17, 18, which I showed you earlier. They can play a little smaller, but overall though, some of the greens can be a little flat to putt on. Agronomy wise, we are once again on overseeded golf course. Polo Trivial's overseed greens, which actually, excuse me, when I was watching the coverage, you could see a lot of the grain in the greens, even though it's overseeded.
Yeah.
As the temperatures get a little warmer, the Bermuda is not fully up, but you can start seeing the grain underneath the POA.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind. That's why putting on the POA overseed is a little tricky. Like at Amex, that rolls mostly like a bank grass. Like the Bermuda's dormant. You don't get any grain. Once you get to Florida, you know, with what we saw at Sawgrass, see a little bit of grain here, see a little bit of grain. Well, RIP, the match play, but at Austin Country Club. That one was actually supposed to be mostly Bermuda.
I miss that so much already.
I know. I mean, we got a good golf course at Houston next week, Memorial Park. But yeah, I do miss the match play. But yes, this is overseeded greens. Something to keep in mind. Rye grass overseed for the fairways and rough. This is going to be the second straight year that they actually grew up the rough. So it used to be 3 inches in the rough. This year it's 3 3/4 inches. You know, last week at Sawgrass, we went over how the increased rough kind of changed how the golf course played. Did it change this? Well, you'll have to find out. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, because of the cool wet weather, the rough's going to be really thick, just like it was at Sawgrass. Really thick if you got in the rough there. It's going to be the same thing this week. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a golf course that, you know, you don't want to be in the rough. It's going to make your life a little more difficult doing it. So let's get to past results. You're trying to, you know, to elude this. So 2018, Paul Casey fires a final round 65 to beat Tiger Woods.
Unbelievable.
I know. Yeah, people were very upset about Tiger that day. But, I mean, this is a good leaderboard, though. You know, Paul Casey, Tiger, Patrick Reed, Sergio, Rose, Jim Furyk, Webb. Pretty good final round Sunday.
Oh, you know? Sorry. It doesn't matter. This is so off topic. I'm not trying to derail you. But I saw my boy Viegas up close and personal. Shouted him out. Gave me a dap. Very nice. Very nice. Told him, I bet you fucking 300-1, and he gave me a fist bump. Very nice.
There you go. Did you tell Siwoo that you went to rehab for him and that you were no longer a Siwoo guy? You tried to claim that he gave you a little bit of love, too.
Like, yeah, well, I said, Siwoo, and he gave me a fucking head nod, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you should have told him that he's a bum, that you no longer bet him anymore.
Nah, what's the funniest thing? The funniest thing we saw was, who's the, so Fleetwood's caddy. Fleetwood's caddy, the big fucking hooligan, huge, fucking way taller than everybody else, tattoos up and down. He was eating Rice Krispie treats out of his bag. We thought it was the funniest thing ever. And he couldn't, He didn't finish it right. Like, it kept falling out of his mouth. It was pretty fucking funny.
That's me. I keep up your energy, you know? I mean,
yeah,
it's probably a snack to have while you're carrying up bags in 85 degree heat. All right. 2019, Paul Casey. Oops. Don't want this
page. Steve, I love you. Thanks for putting up with me, buddy.
You're welcome. Paul Casey wins again over Luis.
Unbelievable.
Kokrak, Bubba. Apparently, this is a live golf course, by the way. Look at all these
guys. It really is. Kokrak, Usti.
Yeah, Casey, Louis, you know, DJ, Rom, even. Yeah, only guys who went to live are good in this place. So, but yeah, I mean, listen, like a lot of really good ball strikers. This is one where Paul Casey actually almost blew. He shot fine around 72 that day.
I hate Paul Casey.
Yeah. 2020, COVID won, second straight tournament, Scotty Scheffler-esque like run. When it's second term in a row.
Yeah, but he didn't win.
COVID won in 2020. The tournament was canceled. I'll just make a joke.
Tricky. All right.
Well, anyways, though, so 2018, 2019, average scoring was 0.7 over par.
Who won 2021?
Buddy, I'm making my point.
All right, fine. Go.
Okay. So 2018, 2019 played difficult. Played 0.7 over par in 2018. 0.9 over par 2019. 2021, it's Sam Burns when it's 17 under over Keegan. This was a painful one for us. We had Keegan.
Yep.
Not great.
Nope.
But this was a, you know, kind of an outlier, you know, scoring tournament for, you know, just generally. It played under par for the week. Now, granted, this is also played a little later on in the year. This is actually all Bermuda for this one. So played a little softer at that point.
I forgot still, about that.
Yeah, they played it in April. It was actually when I was on vacation for this one. But we played a little softer when he scored 17.
Can you put it in the water on what, 16?
What's that?
Can you put it in the water at 16?
I forget. I don't know. I was poolside at that point. I think you texted me. I'm like, whatever. I don't care. I'm drinking a beer in a pool. I'm fine. But yes, Keegan, I think, blew
it. Thanks for the support. I came on tonight because you were very sad. And that's the support I get. I'm in the pool drinking a beer. Go fuck yourself. Meanwhile, I'm like,
well, actually, you know what? Day. Actually, this is what happened. I was driving back for the final round. I said, don't text me until it's done. And then I get to the hotel because I told my dad I was on Keegan. And I flip over my phone. And he says, top break. I was like, well. Great. All right. 2022, though, figure, okay, maybe that was just a one-year fluke, really a scoring. No.
Burns again.
Sam Burns wins again at 1,700. This time, the average scoring was 0.7 under par, including a couple days of played under par, like, you know, under a full stroke under par. So I think at that point, the tournament director said, okay, put some teeth back in this place. Let's actually kind of kick these guys in the asses. Now, granted, like in 2021, 2022, play a little softer. Wind wasn't a big an issue.
Burns fucking stinks. How has he won these tournaments? He fucking stinks.
Well, it was because of what you said last week that he just putts really well on Poa Trivialis. So
not fucking this week. Thanks, Burns, going fucking 8 over the last two holes to fucking crush a fucking $500 matchup. Appreciate it.
Well, we get to last year, and this was when they grew up the rough. Like, okay. Let's actually grow it up. Let's actually make it a little more penal because we're sick of Sam Burns bombing everywhere. And, you know, still, we got Taylor Moore bombing everywhere and ended up winning, but played a lot tougher. 10 under was the final winning score, average scoring back up to 0.9 over par. A couple days, including Sunday, that played really tough. Like, this closing stretch here really just crushed everybody. Adam Shank was probably the guy who was supposed to win this thing. He blew it down the stretch.
Oh, God, he choked that down the stretch.
The aforementioned Tommy Fleetwood. Wyndham Clark, by the way, 6 under last year.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pretty good leaderboard in hindsight. But the rough seemed to put a little bit
more. He would have choked it away once again.
Probably. All right. Let's go to the course table.
Well, definitely did.
All right, let's go to the course table. I'm going to try and zoom through this because honestly, I don't really feel like recording anymore. I'm talking about golf, but let's go over the biggest takeaways. This is a tough ball striking golf course. So fourth most difficult off the tee, of all golf courses played on the PGA Tour since 2015, including top three in seven of the last like 8 years here. And it's kind of like what I just mentioned, just looking at the Google Earth. It's a lot of positional golf, a lot of dog legs, a lot of golf courses that are a lot of holes where, you know, it's pinched in fairways, either by a bunker or rough or a hazard. And it's very narrow targets. And, you know, let's go a little bit to the driving stats here. So, like I mentioned, less than driver golf course for the most part. Only average driving is about 280 off the tee for all drives. And even so, guys are clubbing down. Still, guys only hitting about like a 55 to like 57% rate. So, these are really difficult fairways to hit. These are not easy tee shots at all to hit. So that's a reason why it's not just, all right, let's aimlessly bomb it out there, regardless of where it goes. This is one where you got to kind of plod your way around. You have to be precise off the tee. You know, it's
one of those gonna win.
Now, the thing is, though, let's hide a couple of these things. So you would think, okay, really long rough, especially last year. You would think it may be a little more penal to miss a fairway, considering how difficult it is off the tee, how much, you know, long approach shots you got. It's actually one of the least penal places to miss a fairway. You know, even with the longer rough last year, didn't really do much for your average scoring between if you're in the rough or not out of hole. And it's just because I think these are really tough approach shots for the most part. You know, it's the 21st most difficult for approach shots. Long golf course play on the PGA Tour since 2015. A lot of long approach shots, a lot of approach shots into small targets. Obviously, there's a high rate of missed fairways here. So, you know, it's the greens are pretty small. So, kind of like at a place like, I don't know, there's a couple golf courses where you would think it'd be very penal to, you know, miss a fairway and not. Well, it's because if it's really tough approach shots, it doesn't really matter. So, you know, the average green regulation rate is, you know, only like, you know, high 50s. You know, it's definitely weather dependent too. In really bad weather, you get like, you know, 54, 55, 56% in turn, a little bit of an up and down game. Tough approach shots between under 150 and over 150. So I guess my point is, this is a ball strikers golf course, like I mentioned. Got to be really precise off the tee. Tough approach shots, a lot of long approach shots. Got to show some display of accuracy doing it. There's not really a whole lot of thrills about this place, but it's basically just, okay, target golf, hit this shot. Okay, hit it here. If you don't hit it here, you're basically screwed. Basically that type of golf. I'm not going to get into that.
BK would like a comment on his thoughts. Will we give BK a comment on his thoughts?
Oh, Taylor Moore's going to repeat? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he played okay this week. So, yeah, Taylor Moore's going to repeat. So, probably just stop the show at this point. All right. Let's go to the course fix.
BK called it. There, between you and
skill sets BK, for what work.
Are you not hearing me? Check.
I'm hearing you.
I'm hearing you. What I'm saying is, between you and BK's card this week, you literally hit. Everyone bought the winner. You guys are on the right track. On the right track. So, stop being sad. You got it. You're literally right here. I have 2 second places the last 2 weeks. I feel like I'm seeing it good. You feel like you're not seeing it well at all, and you had the entire fucking leaderboard except the 5-1 guy.
I don't know. I got a little headache, but I'm like right here. I think I need an aspirin. That's a little why I'm a little ornery. Maybe I need a beer, actually. I've had a beer all weekend, by the way. It's St. Patrick's Day.
You haven't had a beer all fucking... It's St. Patrick's Day!
Unfortunately, I had a lot of child care I had to do because my wife had friends.
Oh, I don't give a shit about any of that. I've had fucking kids for the last 20 goddamn years. St. Patrick's Day is the best day for me to listen to Irish music, hang out with my father, my father-in-law, pass on stories, fucking and embrace my culture. And this doesn't matter. Sunday night, Monday night, doesn't matter. You have beers, you enjoy your family, and yeah, you have fun.
All right, well, I'm probably going to have a beer after this. Anyways, let's go to the predictive skill set chart. Kind of like last week, this is actually very similar to Sawgrass's. Actually, Data Golf has Sawgrass as a comp course, the 12th most. But yeah, distance doesn't matter here because a lot of you guys are using less than driver. There's some holes you can take it over the corner. I showed you a couple of those. For the most part, though, distance doesn't help you here. It's more about precision off the tee. So guys tend to be a little more accurate off the tee, tend to do a little better here. Guys tend to do a little better with their irons and tough approach shots. Ball strikers, golf course, they do a little better here. Guys tend to be a little better around the green because there's a high miss green regulation rate. The green side surrounds aren't all that difficult. So if you're a really good scrambler, you get up and down fairly easy over the field. So again, like guys are pretty good tee to green for the most part, tend to have an edge here more than some other golf courses. Putting is one that is not very predictive. I think mostly that's because of Paul Casey, to be completely honest. Not a good putter, but we've seen Sam Burns do really well here. So it's really unpredictable.
I think I am going to bet more just because.
Okay.
Or not.
All right. Well, anyways, basically, guys who are really good tee to green, I mean, I know that's what we lean on most, but like it's more predictive here. So if that's what you're really going to lean on, it's more predictive here than other golf courses. Let's go to how you actually separate yourself in tournament. This is what makes this kind of difficult, though, this tournament. As far as trying to trying to handicap it, where we say, okay, it's very predictive of going with the really good ball strikers. Well, unfortunately, at least the last couple of Valspars, ball striking has not been as effective to separating yourself on the leaderboard.
No.
It's indicated by, like, this is the PGA Tour average, and it's way less important on the leaderboard. So
scrambling?
So in 2021, it was scrambling and putting as a way to separate yourself. In 2022, come on, keep going. It was a little more important with your iron play, not as much with your off the tee. But again, putting was a way to really separate yourself at 2022. And then they grew up the rough for 2023. I'm like, okay, how did that change things? Well, besides the scoring getting a lot tougher, really nothing. Iron play wasn't really all that impactful. A little more with how you drove it, but you can see here, distance just did not matter at all for contributing how you actually did off the tee. But this isn't really a big impact. So you would think, okay, ball strikers golf course, the guys that hit it off the tee the best, the guys that hit it with their irons best, probably did the best all week. Instead, the last three, the only one that's really shown as how you've been actually be able to separate yourself, throw your putter. So this is a ball strikers golf course that really the way to win it is with your putter. It's hard to marry and square that sometimes. I was trying to think about that today, why that is. Maybe it's because it's forcing everybody to kind of hit the same shots over and over. Like everybody has the same tee shot.
Like Torrey almost?
Maybe. Like everybody's got to take like, all right, like I got to hit like 260 in the middle of the fairway.
Right.
And there's not really a big variance between like what guys do. It's either, okay, I hit it right in the middle of the fairway or hit in the rough.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, like yeah, I got, you know, everybody's got the same about approach shot in, low green regulation rates. So that's why it's tough to handicap this thing. The ball strikers golf course that you win with your putter.
But you think they're asking them to do the same test over and over again?
Kind of. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of like options at this place. Not like
so
I mean,
I'm not thinking-
other than a couple holes, it's like, okay, I gotta play positional golf most holes.
Okay.
So everybody's kind of hitting the same clubs over and you know, on like everybody off the tee is basically choosing the same clubs. Everybody's right. Basically choosing about the same like iron in, having about the same distance into. That's why like a lot of this approach at distribution chart. Doesn't really change for the years too. Right. Like, you know, 2021. You know, 2022. Not a lot of movement. 2023. Yeah. So heavy concentration of everything over 175, but like it's all really just kind of stag. I think just I don't know. I've never been able to figure out this tournament. I've never really had a lot of success doing this tournament. And I think it's because how?
We missed Keegan.
We lost with Keegan.
Yeah, we lost with Keegan, but I know we hit a ton of positionals, and the year after the same thing.
Maybe you have. I'm
telling you.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, point is, Point is, I think I'm just going to rely on, just based on just some of the guys and leaderboard we looked at, like, maybe we'll just go back to this. You know, I mean, Clark was on a ball striking leader. Fleet was on a ball striking here. Shank was hitting his irons really good coming in. You know, Matt Wallace was, I think, hitting his irons pretty good coming in. You know, going to like 2022. You know, a lot of really good ball strikers, a lot of good iron players in this mix here. So Davis, I'm probably just going to just do it. Yeah. I'm probably just what I'm going to do. I'm probably just going to say, okay, like who's been hitting the ball the best and just hope they putt well. That's really
it's Fitzy playing this week.
It's what?
Is Fitzy playing this week?
I don't know. I haven't really looked at the field. I think I know Xander's in the field. I know Spieth's in the field. JT's in the field. Hideki's in the field.
Hideki is okay. Well, Fitz. I think Fitz is a good fit for you.
Why? Because he just removed the weights from his driver and now he can drive it well?
No, he showed up well on Sunday. He has a good course history. What are you talking about? Well, you got to be a dick.
Didn't hear the story about his weights in the driver?
No, I don't. I don't listen to shit with volume on. I can't listen to talking heads. I don't listen to ESPN. I don't listen to any of those guys.
So Fitzpatrick's driving the ball like shit for like That's a fine. Year. And a couple tournaments ago, he realized that he put weights in his grips as a training mechanism and forgot to take them out. And then all of a sudden he took out the weights.
Out of here.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he took out the weights and now he's driving it great. Apparently picked up a lot of speed too. Because it's like he was swinging like a baseball bat with a donut on.
No, it's exactly what it is. Yeah, he's swinging a fungo bat.
Why do we bet this fucking sport? When shit like that is out there, like guys just accidentally have weights in their clubs and they remove it, like, oh, they're fixed.
Unbelievable. Is that for real?
Oh my God. It's real. They talk about that all weekend.
I don't listen to them because I can't deal with the talking heads. They just trigger me because they're like, Corey Connors is the best putter I've ever seen. I just can't do it. Like, I have to watch. I literally watch everything on mute. Like today, we turned it up on the 16 through 18. And then I was just Irish music pumping through the house. Like, that was it. Okay. Like, everybody was eating, having fun, listening to music, and me and Pete were staring at the screen, screaming about golf.
All right. There's one last thing. So, I know I'd like to usually jump out and bet outrights and get the best prices. Here's the thing, though. We're going to get some shit weather.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, Thursday looks relatively okay. Friday, though, something is rolling through. Some weather system is rolling through on Friday off the Gulf. I'm really going to try and be patient and try and see how this Friday forecast shakes up before I start betting outrights.
I'll fire a couple off tomorrow.
Okay. Stay tuned. Weekend looks pretty gnarly. This could be a fun and tilting tournament.
I'm going back to Eric Cole.
Because when the wind gets up at Innisbrook, this place turns nasty.
It's nasty.
It's going to be cold. Cool. But windy.
I was like, is that cold?
Cold for you Floridians. So
that's fair. Exactly. I guess I am a Floridian now.
Yeah. So, all right. So I guess stay tuned. Watch the weather. We'll see what happens.
I'll talk to you everybody about on fucking Tuesday night.
Yeah, if I even show up, this might be my last show.
Fuck off.
No, you guys would miss me too much.
Yes, the show would cease to exist.
It probably would. You're not getting on Google Earth and explaining this shit to everybody.
I'm not doing this show with anybody else ever.
That's true. Me neither, pal. All right, I got nothing else. My voice is blown out, probably because I screamed at the television for 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, Florida swing, baby, Florida swing. All right, so I guess we're back on Tuesday. We got anybody on Tuesday or just us?
Nah, just us. It's not a signature event, so just us.
Just us. Just us. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're back, just us. Other than that, fucking Wyndham Clark. Thought you were going to be an honorary Irishman this week. You let a kid with cancer down, so I hope you're proud of yourself. Thanks, Wyndham.